My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary, so glad you chose to spend part of your first Sunday in May with us. If you are joining us on a screen, we will be celebrating communion right after the message. So be sure to have some juice and bread available to join us with that. In this series of the past few weeks, we've been learning to figure out how to receive the peace that comes from God. Peace beyond our circumstances, beyond what we're feeling at any moment. How can we get the peace that transcends all that and find peace of mind in all the chaos that goes around? Today, we are talking to ourselves, literally. What kind of words do you say to yourself over and over and over again? Now, I'm not talking about things like, don't forget to the grocery store and get bread before I go home from work, and then you get to the evening and you forget to buy bread. Or like me this week, Vicky needed her Fitbit, and so I'm telling myself for a couple hours to bring her Fitbit, and what do? I forget to bring her Fitbit. That's not the kind of stuff I'm talking about. No, this is the things that we constantly say to ourselves over and over again. It's our inner monologue. We think we've got so much to do today, and we get through the day, and we say, I'm a failure. I didn't get nearly as much done as I wanted to, even though you did. When we think about money, we think, I'm always going to struggle with it. When we make a mistake, we tell ourselves, you're an idiot. You're always going to mess up. So many of us, we are caught into a negative loop when we talk to ourselves. Our self-talk matters more than you can possibly imagine, because no one is more influential in your life than you are. No one talks more to yourself than you do. Your thoughts have incredible power, and you have incredible power over those thoughts. I love this classic sketch from Saturday Night Live in the early 90s. You will see it feels like the early 90s, and you're going to see a very popular basketball player in this sketch. Watch this.
I deserve good things.
I am entitled to my share of happiness.
I refuse to beat myself up.
I am an attractive person.
I am fun to be with.
Daily Affirmation with Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley is a caring nurturer, a member of several 12-step programs, but not a licensed therapist.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Hello, I'm Stuart Smalley. Say, hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
I don't have to be a great basketball player.
I don't have to be a great basketball player.
I don't have to dribble the ball fast or throw the ball into the basket.
I don't have to dribble the ball fast or throw the ball in the basket.
Because all I have to do is be the best Michael I can be.
All I have to do is be the best Michael I can be.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Oh, what a good sport he was. Yeah, that is absolutely very good positive self-talk. As funny as it is absolutely true. Now, unfortunately, so much of our self-talk is not that. What goes on repeat in our head is negative. It's not encouraging. It's not positive. Even though we might give positive and encouraging stuff to our friends, our family, we don't extend that to ourselves. We can be really hard on ourselves. We kick ourselves for saying the dumb thing that no one actually ever remembers, and we beat ourselves up over and over again for a minor mistake we just cannot let go. Be careful how you think, because it shapes your life. Psychologists call this the law of cognition. What you think impacts what you believe, which impacts how you feel, which impacts how you live. What you think impacts how you feel, what you believe, which impacts how you feel, which impacts how you live. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your thoughts have incredible power, and you have incredible power over those thoughts. Paul, the first century missionary, church planter, author of many of the letters in our Bible, he reminds us of this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The mind governed by the sinful nature gets focused on death and destruction and darkness, like telling ourselves we are bad, we're not worth it, we're not worth other people's time. But the Spirit gives us life and peace. The Holy Spirit helps us to change our negative thoughts to positive ones, and we need all the help we can get to do it. Negativity is hard to overcome in ourselves and in the world. We have a negativity bias. We are predisposed as human beings to think about the negative. Neuroscientists tell us negative events, negative thoughts, they imprint on our brains faster than positive ones. They stick easier. Social media seems to understand this, and social media seems to be built on it. Which spreads faster online? Something that's positive or something that's negative? Something that's negative, of course. Which stories get watched more on our favorite news channel? All of the negative ones. We see the stickiness of negative events even in our own lives. So let's say you've got a presentation coming up at work or school, and you're nervous about it, and you get through it, and then four people come up to you afterward and say, you did a great job, you knocked it out of the park, it was amazing. But then that fifth person comes up to you and gives you some negative feedback. What are you going to be thinking about for the rest of the day? Those four people that gave you all the glowing reviews, or the one negative one? If you're like most people, you're going to be stuck on the one negative one. And when you think a thought once, it is easier to think it again. When everything you see is negative, when most of what you say to yourself is negative, when news and your social media feeds are all negative, you create negative neural pathways in your brain. Negativity becomes the default setting in your life. Negativity becomes habit in your life. We can't trust anybody. We think life sucks. It's not getting any better. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the Spirit brings peace and life. Where in your own life are you most prone to negative thoughts? There are all areas that we're predisposed to, and if we can figure out which area we're predisposed to, we can push back against it. We can ask the Spirit into our lives to help govern our minds toward peace and life. Experts tell us there are four different kinds of negative thoughts we are all prone to develop. First, you might be a cynic. You might be stuck in cynicism. We are generally distrustful of people. We think everyone's out for themselves. No one is generous. You can't trust anyone. People are going to take advantage of me. Every single person, no one is benevolent. Now, interestingly, experts say if you find yourself struggling with cynicism like this, this actually likely reveals more about you. You don't like your motives, so you project those onto other people. You have a hard time trusting yourself, so you project that onto others. If you find yourself generally distrustful of others and questioning everyone's motives, you might struggle with cynicism. Second is negative filtering. This is finding the worst thing to point out. Despite the mountain of positive evidence over here, you're always going to point out that negative one thing. Your kids or your spouse are running late, so you immediately think they've been in an accident. It doesn't matter if they've been late 50 times, if this is just their pattern, but you always go to the negative. You text a friend and it's been more than 2 hours since they responded. Oh no, they're mad at me. I did something wrong. What do? I've got to apologize. Not they're sleeping, not that they're at the movies, or not that they're doing a million other things. No, we instead go to the negative first. You default to finding what is wrong instead of what is right. Third is absolute thinking. This is polarized thoughts. This is all or nothing. Everything is black or white. If you disagree with someone about an issue, then the whole person is written off. If a man does something, all men are bad. If a woman does something, all women are bad. Now, we see this in politics constantly. A Republican does this, so all Republicans are bad. A Democrat does this, all Democrats are bad. Now, I don't have evidence for this, but it certainly feels like to me, over the last couple of years, we've seen more absolute thinking than we have in the previous decades leading up to the last few years. Some of you might be so entrenched in this kind of absolute thinking, it's even hard to see out of it. You might think you're right about this topic, but you're such a jerk about it, nobody can disagree with you at all. Just because you are right does not mean that you are righteous. Is absolute thinking something the Spirit needs to transform in you? Last is blaming. Blaming is believing you are always the victim. The reason you are where you are is because someone else did something that got in your way. They didn't give you a chance. You felt like you don't have any control over what's happening to you. You're a victim of life and of circumstances. There's no way for you to get ahead because the world is stacked against you. Those are four areas of negative thinking that experts tell us we've got to get past. We need some supernatural help from God and intentional work in us to silence the negative thoughts in our lives. Remember, your thoughts are more powerful than you think, and you have a whole lot of control over those thoughts. What are some practical things? What are some things we can do to help our negative thinking? Or more directly, how do we change our stinking thinking? We are going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30 today. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen with me. Now, this is a person, we're going to meet someone who shows us what to do when we are blindsided, absolutely blindsided by an avalanche of negativity. We're entering the life of King David, the man who would one day be king. Today, he's experiencing a bad day, worse than you can possibly imagine. However bad your week might have been, David's was worse. David and his troops return home from battle to find that their enemy has burned their homes and kidnapped all of their wives and children. David thought it couldn't get any worse than this until his own men turned against him and thought about killing him. We're going to pick up the story in 1 Samuel 30. This starts in verse 3. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Noam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. They wept until they could weep no more. Now, some of you might absolutely feel that today. You are hurting so deeply. You're dealing with so much pain and anxiety and fear. You know exactly what David and his men were feeling. When David was in that place, he found strength in God, strength in the Lord. For some of us, it is time to find a strength beyond ourselves, not in our own power, not in our own positive thinking, but in the life-changing presence of God. It's time to learn in a world of chronic negativity what it means to encourage ourselves in the Lord. How does David do this? How does he find strength in his story? We're not told specifically what he does in this moment, but we can make some educated guesses. We can make some educated guesses as to what he might do based upon all the other scripture and stories we've got about him. David likely said something to himself. He prayed to God like he did in other places. David wrote a number of our Psalms, and he writes this in one of them. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. David focuses his self-talk on God. Self, start worshiping God. Praise the Lord. David, remind yourself who God is and all God has done for you. God forgives you from your sins and heals you. God redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. God satisfies you with good things. David, remember that God anointed you as king. God helped you to stand up to Goliath. God never leaves you, never forsakes you, David. God helped you stand up to that other guy named Saul. Later in that same psalm, David says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." Now, if you want a verse to meditate on during the day, throughout the day, to fight back against your own cynicism and negative filtering and absolute thinking and blaming, this is a great one to mark, to highlight, and to hang on your mirror and at work. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Now, it's a good guess on our part that David might have prayed this, because this is not the only time he prays this or puts it in a psalm. Over and over again, we read this. In Psalm 86, he writes, "Lord, you are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness." Psalm 145, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." David prays a similar idea over and over again in all the psalms he writes. A person could argue this is one of his self-taught scriptures, one of his self-taught scriptures as often as we see it. He needs to remind himself of this over against his own negativity and what life's throwing at him. The Lord is good. The Lord is compassionate. This idea, by the way, it's not original to David. This goes all the way back to Exodus 34. God's talking about God's own character and attributes. These passages and others like it are seen by some scholars and experts that this is the most common idea in the Old Testament. We see this that often that this verse might be the most common thing in the Old Testament. Now, you may have encountered people, or you may even ask this question yourself: are there not two gods in the Old Testament and the New Testament? The one in the Old Testament seems pretty vengeful and angry, and the New Testament seems really compassionate and forgiving. However, there's only one God we see in the flesh in Jesus. And if this verse, this idea that the Lord is compassionate and merciful is the most common thing in the Old Testament, the most common refrain, there really is only one God in our Bibles. And God's trying to tell us, this is my character. This is who I am. I'm compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and abounding in steadfast love. And we see that in the flesh, in the life, death, and resurrection in Jesus. Now, when David encountered troubling and tragic times, he turned to Scripture. It was already in his mind and heart to push back against all the other thoughts he was having. David already had this Scripture in mind, this notion of God's character in his mind when tragedy struck. He didn't need to go flipping. He didn't have to go looking for a verse in what would have been his Bible. It was simply in him when he encountered this horrific scene after a battle. So as we deal with our own negative thoughts, let's borrow a practice from David's life. We need to meditate on God's word. Instead of ruminating and roiling over all of the thoughts and the worst possible scenarios, we need to remind ourselves of God's goodness and faithfulness to retrain our brain so it's shaped by God's peace and the life the Spirit wants to give us. We need to replace the negative thoughts with something life-giving and peace-sustaining. You know, for me, in the midst of the pandemic, with the crushing pressure, the changing guidance every day on how we should live as a church, there was more than one moment I was ready to be done. I was ready just to be out. I'm ready to do some other kind of work, work where every single choice is not a no-win scenario. That's what we were living for a number of years. So instead of departing, I meditated on God's word, and this was the specific verse that I hung on to. This is what I latched on to in all the days when there seemed to be nothing but utter and changing chaos. This is where I went and what I reminded myself. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. In that season, after we made tough decision on tough decision, as things changed with worship and groups and mission and staff, I kept this verse close in my heart and in my mind. When the negativity was overwhelming and it felt like I was drowning, it was this verse that pushed back, that brought me above the water to keep going. To keep going with the hope that better times will arrive. It will not always be like this. Better times will return. It won't always be this way. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, not somebody else's time, not my preferred time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. We can absolutely change our negative thoughts, our negative thinking, to something much more positive and life-giving and peace-sustaining. In addition to meditating on God's word, some of us might also need a negativity fast. Whatever it is that is freaking you out today, it's time for a fast. Maybe it's just to take a break from the news. You read it nonstop, you scroll the feeds all day, you watch the same channel, the same stuff. You know the one channel that ticks you off about the other guy and it makes you feel so good. It might be time for a fast. It might be social media that makes you feel left out. You're always seeing a group of friends do things they never invite you to. Don't look at it. It's time for a fast. Maybe you're stuck down a YouTube rabbit hole believing the world is coming to an end and coming after you. You don't even know you're lost in an algorithm that just keeps feeding you the same stuff over and over again. It's time to fast. Maybe it's your friends. Every time you get together, it is just a hate fest about everything. Various people in this group and that group, the city and the state, the church, you name it. Maybe it's time for a break. Your thoughts are incredibly powerful, and you have incredible power over those thoughts. As we go into the new week, I want to give you a couple of tools to help push back, some prayers based on scripture to push back against our negative thinking. These four traps, the traps of cynicism and negative filtering, absolute thinking, and blaming. Now, we've borrowed these prayers from the church that inspired this series. You've got them on in your hands. They're going to be on the screen with me. Let's read and pray them together. So when we find ourselves feeling cynical and we encounter cynicism in our minds, instead, we pray this. With God's help, I will get rid of all bitterness and skepticism. I choose to believe the best about others and be kind, compassionate, and loving. I will love and forgive others as Jesus has loved and forgiven me. Whew. I'm not setting the bar too low or anything. That is a high bar for us to reach, and we're only going to do it with the Spirit inside of us. As we encounter negative filtering, when we only see the negative despite the mountain of positive evidence, we pray this instead. God, by your power, I take captive every thought and make it obedient to the truth of Christ. Because you are good. I choose to think on what's good, right, true, helpful, and worthy of praise. As I trust in you, your peace will guard my heart, soul, and mind. Man, may we not always go to the negative, but see what is good and right and true right in front of us. As we encounter absolute thinking in the world, in our own minds, one of the most prevalent in our day, we pray this together. As Jesus loved and accepted me, I will love and accept others. Rather than always being right, I'm called to always be loving. Rather than just making a point, I choose to make a difference. In humility, I choose to love others above myself. Last, when we feel blaming, when we feel ourselves as the victim, we push back in our prayers together. God has given me a life and a mind of my own. By his grace, I will own my choices and choose God's best for me. I believe I've been given everything I need to accomplish everything God wants me to do today. In Christ, I will overcome. Put them in your Bible, stick them on your fridge, find them somewhere with whatever one you deal with, put that front and center this week. Wherever you encounter negative thinking, with whichever category you tend to, push back with these prayers from Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit shape your thinking to peace and to life. Your thoughts are incredibly powerful, and you have power over your thoughts. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, help us to push back against all of our own negative self-talk with truths, with the truth from you, that you love us, you want the best for us. We invite your Spirit to speak words of life and hope and peace into our lives. May the Spirit speak into our lives that way so we can speak peace and life and hope into others. As we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion today, we confess there were times we missed the mark this week. We didn't love you with our whole hearts, and we didn't love our neighbors as ourselves. We missed opportunities. So God, as those times come to our mind's eye, we lift them up to you. We lift our mistakes, our sins to you now in this moment of silent prayer. God, we thank you for forgiving us each and every time that we ask. May your Spirit lead us into a new week where we love you fully and to love our neighbors as ourselves. As all the opportunities come to love others, may we take them in your courage and your boldness. Now we pray together, all the prayers spoken and unspoken today, in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."